hope that that video just reminds you to fall back next week. And we're looking forward to spending time together worshiping online and worshiping at one of our campuses. Today, we are finishing off the series called God Help Us. And I want to ask you a question as we start today. Have you ever been in love with the idea of something, but not been committed to actually following through to make the idea a reality? Maybe it looks like this for you. You love the idea of losing 5 pounds, but you've not been willing to make the necessary adjustments to actually lose the weight. Or maybe you love the idea of running a marathon, but you've not been willing to actually commit to every day putting in this time to prepare and train to run 26.2 miles. You love the idea, but you don't make the commitment to actually train. This concept sort of bubbled to the surface for me earlier this week when I was reading an article about a new line of clothing. At least it's new to me. It's called athleisure clothing. Now, I'm probably very late to the fashion party, and you probably have already heard about this. But this line of clothing is a combination of two words, athletic and leisure. And the article said that this line of clothing, which does billions and billions of dollars in sales every year, was designed because there were a whole group of people that loved the idea of working out. They love the idea of exercise, but they don't actually want to follow through and exercise. They love the idea of wearing the clothing and looking like they've exercised, but they only wear the clothing to actually relax and for leisure. So this whole line of clothing has been developed to make you look like you've worked out, but you actually haven't. I think there's a lot of things in life that kind of fall into that mindset, to that category of we love the idea, but we aren't committed enough to actually making the idea a reality. I even wonder if that happens to us in the spiritual dimension of our life. For some people, they love the idea of following Jesus. They love the teachings of Jesus, but they aren't willing to actually commit to opening their heart and life to Him, letting Him change their mind and change their heart and give them a new direction and purpose. So they love the idea, but they're not willing to make a commitment to Jesus. For those of us that are Christ followers, I think this sometimes happens when we look at some of the challenging principles of Scripture, challenging truths that Jesus declared. And we love the idea of those being true of us, but wow, making it happen in our lives is such a challenge, and it's easier sometimes to just leave it in the idea phase as opposed to actually committing to letting Jesus change our mind and change our heart and then change our life. We've been talking about some challenging truths in Scripture over this series. We talked about what it looks like for us to live with justice from God's perspective. What does a biblical view of justice look like in our world today? We've talked about what it looks like to value life, every single life, from conception to death. What does it look like to value life? And then we wrapped it up last week by talking about how do you stand firm for what you believe, justice and life, and not be a jerk? How do you stand firm with humility? All of us probably heard those words of Scripture, and we wrestled with the concepts that we've talked about, and most of us have probably said, wow, that sounds great. I love the idea of living with justice. I love the idea of valuing life. I love the idea of standing firm with humility. But actually making that true of our daily life is a real challenge. How do we let God help us break the pattern of just, I love the idea, but I'm not willing to follow through? How do we break the pattern and actually say, God, I'm willing to let you work in my heart and work in my life and change my mind, change my heart, and therefore change my habits and change my lifestyle? Well, last week, we looked at a passage of Scripture that talked about how we actually live with justice and value life in a very practical way as we interact with others. How we stand for the beliefs that we have that Scripture outlines for us, but we do it with humility. And this verse has messed with me all week, and maybe it's messed with you. Paul was talking about how we live with humility with each other and with those who disagree with us. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul said, we should bless those who persecute us. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Now think about that. Paul says, these are people who don't like you. These are people who disagree with you. These are people who are going to curse you and maybe even persecute you. They are diametrically opposed to you, but you should actually respond to them by blessing them. And you should pray that God would bless them. Twice we're told to bless people that are doing the exact opposite of blessing to us. And as I've wrestled with that verse of Scripture, I've begun to wonder if that word bless gives us a way of living towards others that is truly transformational. The word bless itself in the biblical context is filled with meaning and hope. And so let's just take a minute and unpack it before we apply it to our lives. The word bless in the biblical context means that we experience the kindness, care, protection, and provision of God. We experience the favor of God in our lives. God blesses us. And then to bless each other means that you and I treat each other with kindness. We bless each other by caring for each other, by being generous with each other, by helping protect each other. This word bless actually shows up in Scripture the very first time in the first chapter of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, we are told that God blessed all of creation. And then a few verses later in verse 28, we are told that God blessed man and woman. God blessed Adam and Eve. That's where blessing shows up the very first time in Scripture. Now we know that it wasn't too long after they received God's blessing that Adam and Eve disobey God and sin enters the world and things change dramatically. And you might wonder if God is done blessing people. But then just a little bit later in Scripture, we are told about a man named Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, we begin to get the story of Abraham. And you may want to go there in your Bible or find it on your Bible app. Listen to how God talks to Abraham. God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And God finishes off this conversation with Abraham by saying, all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. In that statement from God to Abraham, God uses the word bless five different times. Bottom line, God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others. And he says, the entire world is going to be blessed through you. And we know now that God was telling Abraham, I'm going to use your bloodline to bring the Messiah, Jesus, into this world. And I'm going to use your bloodline to bring Jesus in, and he's going to restore the relationship between humanity and me that I intended when I created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know Jesus is born, and everywhere he goes, he blesses people. Jesus spoke words of kindness, words of healing, words of hope. He fed people who were hungry. He healed people who were sick. He forgave people who were living in sin. Maybe you remember when the parents of children wanted the children to be close to Jesus. And we're told that they wanted Jesus to bless them. And so Jesus has to correct the disciples because the disciples were telling the parents, Jesus doesn't have time for this. He doesn't have time for children. And Jesus says, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. And he welcomes the children. And we're told that he takes them in his arms, which means that Jesus just hugs them. He gives them a hug. And then he prays over them. Ultimately, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection extended this blessing of Abraham to you and to me. The Apostle Paul, he said in Galatians, he said, God was telling Abraham that Gentiles could be right in his sight because of their faith. The same faith that you have in me. God said, Christ is going to come, and everybody who puts their faith in Christ will be able to share the same blessing that I am extending to you. Think about this. Since the beginning of our story, humanity's story with God, God has demonstrated his deep love for us by blessing us and in turn asking us to bless others. So think about this. From the very beginning, it has always been God's plan to bless his people. So when Paul says that we are to bless those people who are persecuting us and who don't like us, that's not an idea that Paul just grabbed out of somewhere, out of thin air. No, he is asking us and reminding us that God has been blessing humanity, people like you and me, since the very beginning. Now, we look at our lives today, living in the middle of a pandemic, and we say, Wes, are you sure about this whole we've been blessed by God thing? Yes, I'm sure. We have been blessed because every single one of us have the opportunity to experience the amazing love of Jesus fully and completely in our lives. We can be forgiven. We can experience salvation. We can move from being lost in a world with no purpose, no direction, no meaning, and we can experience being found in Christ. We can experience the purpose that God created us for as we follow Jesus in our daily lives. We can experience hope for forgiveness of yesterday and hope that God's Spirit is guiding us today and walking with us today, and we can experience hope for eternity with Him. We've been blessed with the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us and direct us and give us His power in our lives. We've been blessed with the fruit of the Spirit. As God's Spirit works in us, we are told that we will experience things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We've truly been blessed. God has always had a plan to bless His people. And then God has always had a plan that His people would bless others. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can bless others. I'm going to bless you so that the entire world can be blessed. And we see that pattern everywhere. God blesses His people so His people can bless others. You see it all the way through Scripture, all the way towards the end of the New Testament. It shows up again. Peter, writing to Christians living in Rome, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, in the Message translation, it says this, that we should be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble, and that goes for everyone, no exceptions. We should not have sharp-tongued criticism on our mouth, but instead, we should bless. Peter says, that's your job, to bless. Be a blessing, and you receive a blessing. It has always been God's plan that we as Christ followers would receive the blessings of Jesus and then share those with the world. We are not designed to be like a reservoir that just simply keeps all the water in the reservoir. We're designed to be like a river where the water flows through. God blesses us so that we can in turn bless others. Now the practical question is this, Wes, how do we do this? If being a person who experiences the blessings of God and then blesses others, how is God going to help us do this in our daily lives? Well, I want to give you some really practical steps in just a moment. But before we go there, I want to take you to one day in the life of Jesus There are two things that happen in this day in the life of Jesus that speak powerfully to something you and I have to determine and wrestle with in our lives before God can help us bless others. Luke chapter 18 and 19 is where this day is found and talked about in the life of Jesus. Some of you might remember that this day has Jesus traveling from his place of ministry to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, he is going to be traveling through a city called Jericho. We're familiar with that from the Old Testament. On the outskirts of the city, we're told that there's a blind beggar who hears that Jesus is passing by. And so he starts calling out for Jesus. And you get the idea from the passage of Scripture at the end of Luke 18 that this guy is creating quite a ruckus. And there are people who are saying, "Pipe down, quiet down, Jesus doesn't have time for you." And the man keeps crying out louder and louder, calling out Jesus' name, trying to get his attention. And we're told very clearly in Scripture, verse 40 of Luke 18, that Jesus hears him and he stopped. Jesus stops his journey to Jerusalem because he hears a man in need. He hears the man in need and he heals him. Just a few verses later, we're told that Jesus now is within the city of Jericho, walking through the city streets. And there's a tax collector named Zacchaeus, who's a short dude. Scripture says he climbs up into a tree so he can see over the rest of the people and see Jesus. And we're told that Jesus, on his journey again, after healing a blind man, now again on the journey to Jerusalem, stops, he sees Zacchaeus. And we're told that he actually goes to his house and has a meal with Zacchaeus. I think Jesus shows us one of the secrets to being a blessing to others is that Jesus was intentional about stopping to connect with someone, and he was willing to be interrupted on his journey. And if you and I are going to bless others, if we're going to be someone God uses to actually extend kindness and care and compassion to other people, then we are going to have to be intentional about doing it. It won't just happen. We're going to have to be intentional, and we're going to have to be willing to allow our lives, our agenda, to be interrupted. So as you and I put those two things into our lives, intentionality and a willingness to be interrupted, then we can talk about something that we're just going to call the bless practices. There are a wonderful group of people at Wheaton College and in some churches in the Chicago area who came up with this little statement about bless practices. And I want to give them to you today, and I want to encourage you to put them into your heart and into your life. And maybe you want to take a shot of a picture of this, of screen, and just be able to put this in your heart and in your mind and remember it. The blessed practices look like this. If we're going to actually bless others, then we should begin with prayer, which means that we're just going to begin this challenge to bless others with prayer. We begin with prayer and we live out the practices in a prayerful spirit and attitude. We need to pray regularly for the people and places that are in our spheres of influence. So we begin with prayer. We listen with care, with concern. We actually take the opportunity to stop and listen to others. We're actually willing to ask questions, to discover other people's needs, to discover their questions. We're actually willing to listen. And as we listen, perhaps then we have the opportunity to eat together. We actually share a meal together like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. We actually just spend time with people that God has brought into our life. And as we pray for them, as we listen to them, as we sort of share life with them, we discover there are opportunities to serve with love. We actually, having heard their needs, having heard their questions, we respond to them and we serve them in a practical and impactful way. And as we do those things, we discover that at some point we have the opportunity to actually share our story, to talk about how God has worked in our heart and worked in our life. And as we share their story, we have the opportunity to help them understand the incredible blessing that God is offering them. Hope, forgiveness, salvation, purpose, direction for life. So think about this. Think about these blessed practices. Think about how they might look in your heart and in your life as you begin with prayer, as you listen with care, as you eat together, which really means just sharing some time together, as you serve with love, and as you then share your story of what difference Jesus has made in you. Can you imagine what our neighborhoods might look like, what our community might look like, if we were just intentional about living out these practices daily in our life? This isn't something that we add to what we're doing. It's something that we live out in the already activity of life, in what we're already going about and doing every single day. Now, here's what I know. A lot of us will love the idea of blessing others. We might even say, Wes, that's a good idea. I like that graphic. I like that idea. I like the idea of being blessed by God, and I like the idea of blessing others. But we started our time together this morning by talking about loving an idea, but not being willing to actually make the adjustments or make the changes required to make the idea a reality. I'm challenging myself, and I'm challenging you to move beyond just the idea phase in blessing others and to actually making it an intentional commitment to saying, God, with your help, I'm going to put these practices into my everyday life. Can you imagine what it would be like if you and I would just live a blessed life? Living with God's blessing, a part of us, and extending that blessing to the people around us. For you and I to do this, we begin with prayer. We begin with prayer. We ask that God would help us open our hearts fully and completely to His blessing in our life. And then we say, God, would you help me? Would you help me realize the people who you've placed in my influence, who I could bless? There are friends who God wants to use you to bless. There are some relatives whom God wants to use you to bless. There are probably some acquaintances and some neighbors who God wants to use you to bless. There's a whole community around us. And God wants us to be people who step up and truly love Him and love others in a way that blesses their lives. And guess what? We're actually asked by God to bless our enemies. Rather than returning insult for insult, evil for evil, to actually bless them and pray for them. So as we think about this truth today, as we think about living this out in our daily lives, as we think about moving it from just a good idea to actually a lifestyle, I want to invite you to just spend a few moments of time in prayer with me, praying that God would help us experience His blessing in our life, to open our hearts fully and completely to Him, and praying that God would help us be sensitive to the people He has placed in our life, whom God has placed us strategically in connection with them, so that we can help them experience His blessing. Would you just join me in spending a few moments of time in prayer? We're going to just spend some quiet time. We're going to have a graphic on the screen that'll kind of help you process through this. But would you join me in praying that God would help us bless others? God, we just say today that we do want to be people that you can use. We don't always know how, we don't always know where, we don't always know who, but God, we want to not just talk about being someone you use to bless our neighbors and the nations. We actually want to be people who are living this out in our daily lives. And we do say, God, we know that you can use anything. And so we ask that you would use us. Help us to just be willing to put some daily practices into our life that would position us, intentionally position us, to be able to be used by you to bless our neighbors and our nations. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to journey through life at a very challenging time, that just as you continue to transform us from the inside out, that other people would be able to see the difference you're making in us, and that they would open their hearts to receive the blessings that are available to them through the power of Jesus. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so glad that you joined us today. If there is a way we can serve you, if we can pray for you, it would be our joy, our privilege to do that. And there's a way that you can let us know in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube, or you can go to our website and there is a connection card there and you can fill out the information and leave us a prayer request or leave us a question, and we will do our very best to follow through. We look forward to worshiping with you again next week.